You are listening to the Tuesday, October 31st edition of RotoViz Radio. I'm Pat Corain on Twitter at Pat Corain. And with me is Sean Siegel on Twitter at FF underscore contrarian. Sean, how's it going?
Great. Another very exciting fantasy week. And we've got a special guest tonight. We're going to get the Fantasyland crew back together for a show and bring in Peter Overzet, who is going to talk to us about his 30th place finish in the Millionaire Maker, which obviously was very exciting. And also, if you're not familiar with Pete, I definitely would encourage you to reach out and get familiar with him, follow some of his stuff. He recently wrote what I consider to be the funniest fantasy football article that I've had the opportunity to read. Obviously, I'm biased with it, having been on RotoViz, but I've read thousands of articles over the last decade, and none of them cracked me up or were quite so enjoyable as Pete's You Have Died of Dysentery Oregon Trail article on his Fantasyland team a couple weeks ago. So definitely looking forward to chatting with Pete about both Fantasyland and his Millionaire Maker team.
Yeah, and that one had me crying laughing, not just because it was brilliantly funny, but also because it was about the death of our fantasy team in our high stakes league. So kind of a mixed emotions there for me, but I would definitely recommend checking out that article and checking out Pete on Twitter. He's a genuinely fantastic Twitter follow. Kind of injects some humor here into the fantasy football Twitter community, which I think definitely is a good addition. So add him if you're not following him. And you can do that at Peter Overzet. But let's jump into that interview with Pete. As soon as I remind you that you can get a listeners-only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. That subscription will give you unlimited access to all of our premium NFL content, and it'll also support the podcast, which you can also do by rating and reviewing the RotoViz channel on iTunes. We've got the RotoViz radio channel and also the RotoViz radio football show channel. Two ways to listen to the show. The RotoViz Radio football channel is a little bit more pared down. You can also contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. But let's get to our interview with Peter Overzet. Fantasy football fans, listen up. If you love fantasy football, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. Here's how it works. You do a draft that lasts for just 1 week, and there's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you could join one right now. And the best part? You play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. There's no salary caps, so you play in real-life snake drafts, just like you would with your friends in a season-long league. So come in, join me, draft against me on Draft Today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes or play right from your computer on playdraft.com, whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code RVRadio. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using my promo code RVRadio on your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and come play free with promo code RVRadio. Please welcome to the show Peter Overzet, who you can follow on Twitter at Peter Overzet. He's the host of the Fantasyland podcast, the producer of Pete Manzanelli and for PokerTube, and host of the FF Comedy Hour podcast as well, also a RotoViz contributor. Pete, welcome to the show.
Did you just read my bio off of Twitter and not give me any bit of a personal introduction?
I sure did, buddy.
Come on, dude. I deserve more than that, standard boilerplate.
All right, well, let me add this. You also placed 30th in the Millie Maker this week, and wanted to talk to you about that nice little sweat you had going.
Yeah, I should put that in my Twitter bio, like, you know, husband, father, Scott Fishbowl division, Peter Pan, and 30th in the Millie Maker, week 8, 2017. I did. Well, you know, it was Mans kind of took credit for it, but yeah, we were building that lineup on Sunday morning right under the wire. Got a nice little Russell Wilson game stack with Lockett and Paul Richardson brought it back with Will Fuller. And yeah, had a good sweat. It was that final pick six because I had the Cowboys D, and I was in like, 65th or something, and we jumped all the way up to 30th on that last play. So yeah, it was a fun sweat.
Yeah, I just want to make it clear, when you say we were building that lineup, you mean you and your alter ego?
Something like that. Yeah, it's really hard to kind of untangle all of that and the pronouns that we should use. But yes, I think you got it.
How far were you from moving up another 10, 15 spots?
It was hard to get into the top five. He was like 15 points ahead, but I had looked because if you remember when Paul Richardson had that third TD taken back, and then I think Graham ended up getting it, I went and looked and I would have jumped up another, I want to say 12 to 13 spots on that. And then ultimately, I think I was in better position, but the Ezekiel Elliott and DeAndre Hopkins kind of blowing up in the second half of those games ended up having a few guys kind of surge past me there. But yeah, I think my ceiling would have been, about 15th or 16th, depending on how some of those other Paul Richardson plays shook out.
Now, you told us some interesting things about your process for setting up the lineup before we started. I see that you also had, obviously, Will Fuller opposite all of the Seahawks. Was there any lineup consideration? Was there any of the lineups that you put together that also had Hopkins in them?
No, they didn't. I kind of started with the running backs. I knew I wanted Jordan Howard. I actually saw Roto Doc talking about him this week, so that got me on him. I knew I wanted to put in McCoy. And then when I built the game stack, I knew I liked that. And so then I was down in the flex with, 5,200 or so left. So there was kind of the options people were using. Blunt, who I ended up going with. And then there was, your Mixins, who was the other one? Deion Lewis. And then, yeah, I could have gone down to the really cheap tight ends. Obviously, the nuts play was to go down to Jack Doyle. But that would have been a lot of salary to leave on the table. And I guess I couldn't pull that off, and thought if a lot of people were on the Eagles passing game and then the weather was bad, I thought, Blunt could be a candidate for two tight ends. So I went ahead and went with him there. But yeah, I should have, if I would have spent more time with that lineup construction, I definitely would have maybe spun that lineup into a few others. Cause yeah, the guy who won the Millie, he actually didn't even have, I want to say Fuller, but he had, both the Seahawks receivers, Nuke, and then Lamar Miller was his flex play, which I think was the true differentiator there.
And will Fuller now be in every lineup you do out into eternity? I mean, what ratio of reception to touchdown should we expect for his career? Is it going to be 60%, 70%?
I know. I hear these people use this word on Twitter called regression. I'm still trying to look it up and figure out what it means. And they bandy it about for Will Fuller, but I don't believe it, dude. I just think he's going to score two touchdowns a game going forward. Although if I were to do the thing where you get a jersey when you win the Millie for a player, if you do the thing where you get a jersey for getting 30th, I definitely want a Paul Richardson jersey. I am becoming a big fan of that guy.
Awesome. Well, Pete, you mentioned Blunt and the Eagles, and so let's let that kind of lead us into some of the big news. We usually record this this podcast on Monday nights, but we're recording this episode here on Tuesday night, which gives us the benefit of seeing all the trades that came through today. One of the most surprising and one of the probably the biggest for fantasy purposes is Jay Ajayi to the Eagles for a fourth round pick. What do you think of this trade? How do you think this is going to shake out for fantasy purposes?
How about we kick this over to Sean here to start? I feel like I just talked for a while.
Well, my question was, do the Eagles, do they just bring in a back who does the things that Blunt does poorly and the things that Smallwood does poorly as well? Is this a hybrid Blunt Smallwood of all the worst traits?
Right. Yeah, it does seem, because they were saying they now have the, five running backs on the roster, and on game days, you can't imagine that all of them are going to be suiting up. Is it Smallwood who's going to be the one, outside looking in? And you wonder what their medical staff thinks of Ajayi too, and if they wouldn't want to be let out in the cold. Like, they're not going to release Blunt and then have Ajayi get hurt and then be in an even worse situation. So, yeah, it seems, and it said today that they were gonna, that Ajayi was still, you know, supposedly gonna be the second guy and Blount was still playing with the starters. But you have to imagine they give Ajayi the lead role pretty soon.
Sean, expand on those thoughts there. You're thinking that he's maybe not as good of a two-down banger as Blount and not as good in the passing game as Smallwood?
Well, it just seems like a possibility. It's always interesting, I think, when the teams make these trades. You're looking at it sort of from both directions, where the Dolphins haven't been able to get anything going. And, you know, the Dolphins have received some criticism for the different personnel groupings that they use. But you look at what they're trying to accomplish, and it doesn't seem like any of the personnel groupings will necessarily work. When they go in with a heavy package and try to run Ajayi behind it, you know, they don't get any push. They don't move the defensive line. You know, they don't create any space. And then Ajayi has not been creating those big breakout runs this season. But then when they go to a more spread package, the defense is through the gaps and all over whomever they have in there at quarterback. And so none of those plays have worked. And then on top of that, you have Gase criticizing Ajayi for trying to always hit the home run, which it doesn't really seem like it's his fault when he's having to deal with all of those players in the backfield. But when you have a coach who has not only said that, but then follows through by getting rid of a player who really was the focal point of their team last year and carried them as an offense, I mean, that's a pretty strong statement about where they think he is. And, you know, then you put that sort of within the context of the Eagles saying that Blount is going to remain the starter. I don't take that very seriously, because it doesn't matter how many times they pitch to him and he gets tackled 7 yards deep in the backfield. You know, they're going to keep mouthing this idea that he's the starter, where, you know, if he were a viable NFL running back, he would have success with someone other than the New England Patriots, and the team he plays for would not be trading for Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, I agree. And Blount's just on a 1 year contract here. So I think for dynasty purposes, it's really intriguing. I think potentially this could be an upgrade, although there's certainly a lot of, you've just introduced a lot of risk if you're a Ajayi owner in Dynasty, but, you know, some of that variance could be positive because Blount could be gone after the year if Ajayi kind of locks this up as a three-down role. He's on a much better offense going forward, I would expect, with Wentz emerging and this offensive line being much better this year, presumably going forward as well. So I think there's some potential downside with Ajayi if, you know, he has kind of fallen off, and what we've seen from him this year is somewhat his fault. But I think there's a lot of upside here for Ajayi. What do you guys think about the Dolphins situation? Like, Drake has not really been involved this year. He's got 10 rushes on the season, 3 receptions. You know, they've got, I guess, Damian Williams there. Like, Drake is going to be in for a huge increase in his role, and presumably Williams as well. So how big of factors do you guys think they could be down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, I want to get excited about Drake. I think I saw one of the beat reporters saying that the coaches were, that Drake was getting all the reps whenever Ajayi would sit out with his knee injury during just regular weekly practices, and that they really liked what they saw of him. So, you know, obviously take that how you will, but it seems like they want to see Drake in a more expanded role. And, you know, I know we like Damian Williams. He has kind of the profile to be a three down back, but we've also seen him a lot, you know, filling in for Foster and whoever over the years. So I'm more intrigued by the unknown with Drake and just with his speed in versatility. I'm hoping he gets an expanded look. So that's probably where I'm going to lean as far as who I want to take that initial stab on. But I think both of them are good adds.
I've got Drake on my kitchen sink team, which is one of the ones I'm most invested in. And so I would love to see him really get the opportunity here and explode. The question that I always have with Drake is a little bit the question that I had with Matt Jones when he was being really pushed as this potential breakout player for Washington, which is that, I mean, he was not an impact player in college. Right now, the Dolphins are saying that Drake is someone they want to see in a big role, but they never given any indication of that in terms of actual NFL games, and he's been on the team for a while now. You go back to college, he was also not an impact player at Alabama. And obviously, they had a lot of players that he's sharing time with. It's a very deep and difficult backfield in order to, in which to sort of carve out a role. But it can't carve out a role on your college team if you're very clearly the backup and just the space back, or really a special teams back and an elite special teams performer. But those are red flags. And so, you know, Drake has the speed, he's got the athleticism, and he's got better size too. I mean, he certainly, size-wise, would not need to simply be a receiving back. And one of the things the Dolphins have tried to do, and I think that one of the reasons that you could use, or an excuse that you could make for him as someone who has not had a lot of touches with the Dolphins, is that in their offense, they would really like to keep that one back on the field, get a little toe going, go downfield, and make the defense defend, you know, that one player, as opposed to the constantly shifting personnel groupings and, you know, shuttling guys in and out. So because they didn't do that in the past, he didn't get on the field. So if now he goes into that role where he plays all the time, I think that's encouraging. But certainly when you have a back like Ajayi, who was very successful last year, failing completely in that role, it's very difficult to see even where the fantasy value would come from. The thing that you have to like with Ajayi in Philadelphia is just this is a much better offense. And we've seen so many situations this year in which that has played a huge role. You think about how much better the Rams have been overall with the new coaching staff and what that's meant for Todd Gurley. Certainly the offenses that are struggling, and that just destroys the value of the running backs. One of the interesting backfields for fantasy purposes is the Denver Broncos backfield, and they really have three runners who actually look pretty good. The problem is obviously when you're splitting three ways, that doesn't work out very well in terms of total points, but also just because their offense isn't good. Even if they have three different quality running backs, you know, you don't get to see that. They don't score points. The Dolphins are sort of in that situation where if you're going to split between those two guys and they don't move the ball anyway, it's hard to see how those guys are going to score the fantasy points that you need. But there's always that slight possibility that Drake or Williams could really invigorate the offense. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out this weekend.
Sean, what kind of waiver wire bid would you be looking at to put in for each of these guys?
Well, it depends so much on your roster, but I think that you really are still going to try and stay with a relatively minor bid, as if either or both players has a bad game this next week, I think they'll be released again. There are enough different players who can sort of fill in the back end of rosters right now that I think we're going to continue to see some churn. So instead of paying in a big bid this week and then having him on the wire as you sort of go into the postseason, maybe wait for that opportunity a couple of weeks from now after they've had some opportunities to actually play in the offense and develop a little bit of feel for what's going on.
Yeah, this week could also be kind of an overspend week on the wire just with the bye weeks. You know, you have New England, you have Pittsburgh, you have San Diego, you have the Vikings. So a lot of players, people I'm looking at my lineups and needing to just find touches. So it could be one of those things where people are going to overpay just to get the touches this week. And like Sean said, maybe you wait it out and wait for those guys to be re-released back into the pool.
And I think a lot of the players we've been really pushing have done well over this last month. And so if you filled in your roster with those players, maybe you're even set at running back. In a little bit of a surprising or different scenario than sometimes, I've found that moving from sort of zero running back at the beginning to now where I have running backs in the flex position for a lot of teams this week, and that even some good options beyond that where the running back four is pretty strong, but certainly looking to try and fill at wide receiver and potentially with all the injuries and the buys at tight ends. I was going to ask, Pat, you mentioned, you know, how much would you spend? Where are you with your Fantasyland team? How much money do you have left to bid there?
We have $588 out of our initial 1,000.
Well, so you guys are still very well positioned to get almost any big player that comes along.
Yeah, we were fortunate. We got Aaron Jones when he was looking to be, you know, the kind of $800, $900 add. And then, you know, Montgomery's practice reports turned rosy and we were able to throttle that bid down and got him. So that week we ended up saving a lot of money.
Yeah, I think we got him low 300s. My guess is that Drake ends up going, though, I think some teams will pretty much spend everything they have left. So I would think he goes for like 550. And then Williams will probably go for close to 300, I would think. I'd have to look at what everyone has left, but that's sort of in line with what we've seen thus far.
Yeah, that seems a little high to me on Williams. Like, I guess McKinnon went for about 320 or so. So I guess it's just how do people perceive Williams relative to McKinnon in that similar situation where the top guy went down and then there were kind of two guys left standing.
Yeah, exactly. I think maybe Williams is a little bit less exciting of a name, so I could see him going for maybe closer to low 200s, but I think generally in these high stakes leagues, there's, you know, 12 teams, 20 roster spots, and if starting running backs come up in a high profile injury, that's going to lead to big bids. I was talking to Matt Kelly about this last week. He was saying like how the injuries really drive the bids in the high stakes leagues. You can sometimes get away with picking guys up if you're sort of looking at snap counts and seeing, you know, someone kind of creeping up, then you can usually get them maybe a little bit more under the radar. But when, you know, I'm saying an injury here, obviously Ajayi was not injured, he was traded, but still, it's Ajayi has cleared the way for the rest of the season for these two guys, and everyone in the league is aware of that. So I think the bids will be higher than you might expect for Williams in this format. But in kind of more typical leagues, I would expect Williams will be somewhat under the radar, though, kind of to the point that you guys made about the bye weeks. You know, this is if you're trying for under the radar pickups, going into week nine is not the week to get that done.
Pete, you had mentioned that you guys have 500 and some left. One of the things about the free agent bidding that tends to be the case, people have done a number of different studies on this, is that you have the one large bid, and then the second place bid comes in much, much lower. Obviously, in order to beat that top bid, you know, you would have to go over that. But in the cases where you, your own team, perhaps is the one going for the top bid, and so you can assume that in this case, you know, our team is going to be the top bid, but there's a very good chance that we'll double the next lower bid, or that we'll overbid for what we actually need by a large amount. Do you guys then ever consider taking that bid down almost by half? Do you go in and study the other rosters to see where injuries have happened and where buys have happened in this past week to see how in your particular league it might affect specific teams bidding?
Yeah, I mean, I normally like to do that where I go look at trends and remaining fab dollars and try to do that kind of mental calculus you just described. Pat and I, though, both these seasons have found ourselves in such big holes that we are literally trying to save our season when we have, you know, a guy, Aaron Jones. Last year, we made our big splash play on Dwayne Washington.
Oh, yeah.
That, of course, worked out not so great. So, yeah, we've basically had our hands forced that when we're either trying to fill a desperate need and are willing to overspend, or we just try to do our due diligence and put in those floor bids for the situations you described where, you know, maybe there isn't that one team that's going over and then the floor falls out from underneath that bid. And I remember talking to you about this before we did our first high stakes draft last year. And you told us how, you know, you'd be surprised as the season goes along, guys that you would think would maybe go for $100 and you can get them for a buck or two just because based on team needs or owners getting complacent, those bids just didn't get put in. So yeah, it's definitely nicer to be on that side where you're scooping value instead of feeling the desperation of having to be the overbid.
And I certainly find too that for players maybe in that middle tier or second tier where they're not going to get a several hundred dollar bid, that owners will in some cases assume that someone else is going to put in that, say, $70 bid or the 65 unit bid. And in fact, no one then in the league will bid, allowing you to get for, you know, one, two, three, somewhere in there. And it's certainly not a bunch of players every week or anything like that, but the going in and consistently putting in those one or two bids will allow you to every couple of weeks perhaps get a somewhat ridiculous bargain that you weren't expecting, which, you know, obviously that has a number of benefits, but it certainly allows you to spend your units in a way that is more efficient and also saves for potentially a big bid late, which you guys now are in position to make.
Yeah, and it wasn't quite this league, but I know in some of my standard leagues, you know, take the Murray and McKinnon example, where Murray was going for, you know, 40-50% of budgets, and I was able to sneak McKinnon by for just a dollar or two. And that same thing I could see happening this week, where maybe Drake, I'm guessing, is going to be the sexier name. Maybe people are blowing half their wad on it, and maybe you can sneak Damian Williams by for a buck or two. And who knows, maybe the perception flips in the way it has with McKinnon versus Murray.
Well, Pete, I want to get to the Oregon Trail portion of the show, but before we get there, the Ezekiel Elliott suspension may finally be going into effect. Have you been following this? What legal background do you have, and what advice can you give us for Elliott?
Oh man, it's funny because I get this question because I think I have only Elliott in one spot this year. I think the Scott Fishbowl team, but my wife has him on her team. So I get these questions all the time, and I'm always trying to explain like why we're doing this. I'm like, okay, let's pick up Alfred Morris. No, we can drop him now. No, oh, now we need to pick him back up. So, but to answer your question, no, I know nothing about this legal thing, and it seems like every time it's all right, he's getting a suspension. Then I get the news alert. Nope, it's going to be appealed. So hold your horses. I don't know. It seems like this suspension is going to happen at this point. So I'm moving forward and until I have my reality shocked once again. So I'm sorry, I can't offer any good legal analysis here. How about you guys?
Pat, I think that is also the case with both the NFL and Elliott's lawyers, is that they don't understand the legal process afoot. But if we assume that he's suspended this week, do you prefer Morris or Darren McFadden?
I don't know. I think I prefer McFadden still, but I don't really have a strong feeling on that. It's like, I just feel like McFadden's got a better chance of actually doing something in more of a three down role. So I'd prefer him. I know Morris has been more involved though. So I'd be curious to get your guys' take on it.
I don't know if this is actually a conspiracy theory, but what do you think of the idea that Dallas has refused to play McFadden at all simply to keep him healthy for exactly this time of the year?
I mean, I kind of like that thinking, to be honest. Like, it makes sense. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to be wasting McFadden if I was pretty sure I was going to lose Elliott for the year. So I guess you could use that rationale to go heavy on McFadden. Like, we talked about the waiver wire stuff, you know, obviously the Miami backs are going to be big pickups this week, but how heavy would you go on the Dallas running backs not knowing for sure if Elliott's going to be out? And furthermore, like, what are you doing with Elliott if you own Elliott? Are you just trying to ride him out? I guess you'd really need someone who's a big gambler to really give you anything this week, as we're kind of nearing trade deadlines in some leagues. So this might, you know, be literally the last chance you have to get out. And, I don't know that people are going to have much appetite for buying him right now, but is there anything that Elliott owners can do, and how heavy are you bidding on these waiver wire running backs here?
Well, I just think that if you're an Elliott owner, you've had the full year to prepare for this, and in many cases knew this was going to happen when you drafted. So I think that probably those folks have gotten themselves to what they're comfortable with. I think the thing that I would be looking to do, just, you know, as one of 12 owners in any league, is to now go after Dak Prescott, because, you know, we saw what he was able to do a couple of weeks ago. We saw what Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson were able to do in a game head-to-head this weekend. It seems like the Cowboys will go more pass-heavy, and that maybe unlike last year, that they're ready to do that now, and that the passing game could absolutely explode, and that you're going to get a huge number of both rushing and passing points from Prescott.
I like that. I like that, you know, kind of pivoting there. But we talked about kind of that the price bidding for like a Williams being around the 200 in one of these high stakes leagues. It's striking that McFadden won't go that much higher than that, and he probably has more upside in a better offense with better quarterback play. Does that seem like a decent bid for McFadden?
I just don't know what is going to happen with that running game, and I think that I just don't think that we're going to see the same type of offense and the same approach, and then when it's split between multiple players. I think that the idea with McFadden is that he is clearly the better receiving back And if they want to continue to incorporate that, which I'm sure that they do, that he's going to have a role. And then if he flashes, it's not that difficult to see him very quickly beating out Morris. And, you know, even falling into a situation where Morris has all of the low value touches and then McFadden moves into getting more of the high value touches, we don't really know how they're going to go around the goal line, or even if they're going to end up with a lot of those running types of plays. And Elliott has been scoring from distance quite a bit this season. But I guess I would just wait for or let someone else make that play this week. Although, again, if you can go in and make sure you have your low bids in for all of those players, especially if you have roster spots, you don't know which leagues you might end up getting them. And certainly if you can get them almost for free, I think you definitely want to do that.
Makes sense. All right, Pete, you're a Patriots fan, so we got to get your take.
What?
On, come on, man. You know you're a Patriots fan. I know you claim to be a Broncos fan / no fan, but I know you love those Patriots. So
this is a ambush. This is ridiculous.
It's hard hitting journalism here. I'm not standing by this bullshit anymore. So as a big Patriots fan, I got your take on Jimmy G to the 49ers here, man. Well, what's going on?
I'm devastated, dude. I took down my Jimmy G poster, by far the most beautiful man on my favorite team, the New England Patriots. My entire office, everyone today is just freaking out. Everyone, they don't understand what is going on. But it seems like the situation is pretty obvious, right? That they wish they could have gotten more for him in the offseason or around the draft. They didn't, and then they held too long and decided to cash out for what they could get. I guess, it makes sense, right? If Brady goes down, this team isn't good enough where they could have even probably a Matt Castle type season with the backup quarterback stepping in. And so I think Belichick looks at that and says, hey, we're screwed. If Brady goes down anyways, let's might as well get some value here and go from there. So to me, it seemed like a pretty obvious decision or something that made sense. And other than my heartbreak of losing one of my favorite players, I'm handling it all right.
Yeah, and on all those past blogs you read, did they mention what they could have gotten for him during the draft? Was it that like a mid-first? Is that, I mean, it seemed like they were trying to hold out at that time for way more than just an early second round pick.
Yeah, so I was listening to WEI for 6 hours earlier today, and then I also downloaded and listened to the podcast version of the Sports Hub, and what they thought, no, I don't know, Pat, I think they thought they could, wasn't the famous thing they were holding out for like a first and a second or something, and I guess that never came, apparently, but yeah, it does seem, I don't know, Sean, what does a smart person think about this?
Well, I don't know what a smart person thinks, but I was going to ask you if Mans was part of the group in a different front office today. The reports are that the Cleveland Browns were unable to finish off their crazy steal of someone who plays behind Andy Dalton for a second and third round pick, but they weren't able to get it through because the celebrations were more important.
Yeah.
Did you play any role in that?
No, we didn't. Although I have heard that they have greenlit the sequel to Moneyball 2, and it is going to be about their war room today and that all unfolding. And it's a great era for analytics in football. And I think the Browns are really a champion and a leader in this space. So yeah, I continue to look forward to all the very progressive decisions they make.
Yeah, and that was going to be a weird move because they're giving up a second and third round pick for McCarron. So I guess McCarron's worth more than Garoppolo now. But yeah, with the Jimmy G trade to the 49ers, like, does this have any fantasy relevance here? Like, I guess apparently Garoppolo's not going to be starting until week 12. So this would be, I guess if you're looking at playoffs in super flex leagues, or how might this affect Carlos Hyde during the playoff run, or Pierre Garçon? Is there, Sean, do you think there's any real impact here
with the 49ers? I think if you have some of their wideouts, you're excited to see what could happen. Certainly there is a window now where they're saying he's not going to play immediately. We saw a little bit of a situation with the Colts where they acquired a Patriots quarterback, said he wasn't going to play right away, and then, very quickly he's out there, and not only is out there, but is a big upgrade even without knowing the offense. The 49ers situation is obviously different. You've got different coaching staff, different playbook, arguably weaker talent, although the 49ers and Colts, you know, when you remove Andrew Luck from the equation, then you probably have teams that are somewhat similarly talented, at least on that offense. And so I think you have to be enthusiastic. You have to be excited. If you own Pierre Garçon, he's a player where the volume should be there. And if you can get that volume at even a slightly higher efficiency level, if you can maintain some of these drives so you can keep feeding him, then that's positive. And certainly that also would potentially help Carlos Hyde, a back who started out the season pretty efficient and looking good. But as the season has gone along, you know, we're starting to see a lot of these 12 carries for 25 yard lines. And, you know, he's added a few receptions, he's added a few touchdowns. But if the offense could be a little bit more efficient, if they can sustain some drives, certainly Kyle Shanahan wants to score points, which I think differentiates them from a team like the Chicago Bears, where if you get any sort of upgrade in the quarterback play, the offense could get pretty interesting. Whereas a team like Chicago, a solid team, but you know, they seem to be playing with the idea that if they could lose their games by, you know, somewhere between 6 and 12 points, that at the end of the season, you know, they'll be ecstatic. And so I think with the 49ers, we're not seeing that. So an upgrade at quarterback could definitely have some fantasy ramifications.
Yeah, the Bears are playing Jeff Fisher ball right now. It's very frustrating. Trubisky is, I don't know if he'll throw for 200 yards all season.
Sean, I have a question for you, because if I was listening to this podcast, as Pat mentioned, with trade deadlines nearing, I think most of mine are this week, I would be wanting to know who is a Sean Siegel approved trade target, the proverbial league winner that I can buy low on and ride to the championship.
I think if you can get those Saints players, I'm constantly sending out trade offers for Kamara as someone who, obviously a lot of people are all over. The cost for him, especially in Dynasty, is through the roof, but I think the upside is still even beyond that. One of the players I think is an interesting sell is perhaps Kareem Hunt, someone who is on my hometown team. You know, it's very exciting what he's done. You know, he has made a big impact in that offense, but his value is so high at this point, and maybe starting to have some of that siphoned off over the last month, but he was someone who came in as anywhere from, say, pick 107 in a rookie draft to really middle of the second round to now frequently I see him ranked number one, number two, number three from this class, again, a loaded class. I think if you can sell him for two or three awesome parts, then you should do that. I think that one of the things that can be a little bit underrated is if you're a favorite to sell. I think you always want to be trying to gain as much total value for your team as you can. And so sometimes those last moves, if you're sacrificing too much value for the future, I think that can come back to haunt you. You just got to get yourself into those top couple lines, into the buys going into the playoffs, so you avoid that first round, and then try and do that every single year as the way to win your league. So as opposed to having a specific player that I'm wanting to buy right now, I would be looking to sell maybe some of these top players if they can bring back the value that it seems that they have.
All right, I like it. There you heard it. Put out some offers for Kamara, ditch Hunt, and win leagues.
I want to get your guys' thoughts on kind of a former top player this year, David Johnson. It sounds like today Bruce Arians was talking about he being unsure that Johnson would be back this year. Steve Keim has voiced similar thoughts that Johnson may not be able to play again this year, and Johnson himself is unsure about whether or not he's going to be playing this year. Is he worth keeping at all in redraft, and kind of under what circumstances would you kind of be wanting to burn a roster spot on him? Like, I have him, I've been holding him in a league where I drafted him. I'm pretty much guaranteed almost to make the playoffs. I don't quite want to say that, but it's looking very good that I'll be make the playoffs and potentially have a bye. But, you know, I could use that roster spot. I'm sure others are in that same situation. Today's news made it seem like it might just be time to cut bait. But where are you guys at with Johnson? I know, Sean, I know you basically own him in most leagues, so What are you thinking given today's news?
Yeah, well, we've talked about this on the show before, but I have him in a league with Todd Gurley where the receivers are also pretty solid. Jordan Reed on that team, and just keep thinking, you know, if they can get to the playoffs, you can get to the playoffs. It now looks like those guys are not really going to contribute. At the same time, in a similar situation to where if you've kept Andrew Luck, where Luck also looks like he's almost certainly not going to play, I think it really comes down to the roster spots. If you've held this long, then, you know, holding another week or two, especially for, you know, picking up a fifth or sixth kind of wide receiver, not you know, a wide receiver four or five, but a fifth one on your bench, you know, those types of situations. I you know, if David Johnson is dropped in your league, are you going to bid one on him next week? It seems like most people probably are going to, in which case it becomes difficult to drop him. But certainly, if you need to win this week to stay alive and you have to cover your bias, you have to drop him. If you're in first place by several hundred points, then it's probably a different scenario.
Yeah, I'm honestly planning to continue to hold him. And in that league, I also picked up Andrew Luck as a two quarterback league. So I'm doubling down on the guys who probably aren't playing this year, but I just feel like they provide upside. If they did come back, they would just be a massive boost to, you know, my playoff chances. And, you know, sometimes you end up with a team that's not that good, but it ends up in really good position. And I feel like that's what I have here. So I'm actually trying to load up on lottery tickets, despite being probably locked into a playoff spot. So I try to evaluate my teams like pretty honestly, regardless of the record. And I think I just can't avoid to give up that upside. But Pete, what do you think about Johnson? Would you be just cutting bait in that situation?
Yeah, I think so. With, you know, when it's more, you know, someone like Ezekiel Elliott, when you know you are getting him back, you know he's healthy, you know, there's a definitive date. I think those are easier hold situations. But when there's so much ambiguity of when the goalposts are going to get moved, and then what? Are you going to be able to confidently start them the first week they're back? Probably not. You probably want to wait and see week. So now you're buffering in more time. And yeah, I'm probably not holding them. I'm also the guy, though, like in Scott Fishbowl, I just cut Greg Olsen the second he went on IR, even if I thought he was going to come back, just to free up the roster spot. So I think I'm a little bit more cutthroat and not as patient in those situations than maybe smarter people with a long view.
All right, well, let's take a quick break here to talk about my bookie. Got to mention my bookie, the presenting sponsor for the show. They offer fast, reliable payouts. They're still offering the deposit bonus with the code ROTORADIO. You get a 50% deposit bonus when you use that code at mybookie.ag. Once again, that's ROTORADIO, R-O-T-O, radio. So, yeah, MyBookie is going to be your best place to go for putting in some props, putting in some over-under bets. Pete, I haven't really bet that much on football this year, but you know, when we were out in Vegas, we put some money on the games. Definitely livened up our Sunday, I thought.
Yeah, dude, we started the season hot. And yeah, it's always fun to, you know, offset a bad fantasy day with a few bets and try to get back in the green that way. It's always nice to have that option.
Yeah, for sure. So go to mybookie.ag, use the code ROTORADIO, get your 50% deposit. Fast, reliable payouts. Can't beat mybookie.ag. All right, let's get to one more trade. So many trades today. It's crazy what kind of the NFL's really changed the narrative in a nice way on the trade deadline day. But Kelvin Benjamin to the Bills. What do you see as the fallout here for the Bills, Pete? What do you see as a fallout for the Panthers? Who's going to step up in this absence? Is this kind of an emergence spot potentially for Devin Funchess? Can Curtis Samuel get on the field more? Is Jordan Matthews even more buried than he already was in Buffalo? Is Deontay Thompson's quick little spot in the sun over with? How do you see this playing out?
Yeah, I'm gonna start with each one of those and just do about 10 minutes about each of those players and their future outlooks.
Sweet.
Yeah, no, hang on. You're the world's biggest Curtis Samuel fan that I know. You were the one that got me onto him all during the draft season. You have to be pretty excited about what this could pave, you know, some more touches for him.
I am excited about Curtis Samuel. I think I think it's only good things for him to get on the field. Funchess, I think, you know, stands to benefit a lot more, just given kind of his more solidified role in the offense. But yeah, I think as a Curtis Samuel owner in several dynasty leagues, I think this is a spot for him to really show what he can do here. The offense has been a lot more willing than I thought they'd be to kind of feed McCaffrey some of those short throws. So if Curtis Samuel's on the field, I feel like he's going to potentially get some of those types of looks. Could be involved that in that way, and then he also has some long speed. So I'm definitely excited about Samuel and Dynasty to see kind of what he can deliver here. In redraft, I don't know that I'm necessarily like rushing out to pick up Samuel, but it'll be nice to kind of close out the season to see what I have in an asset that I invested in a lot of Dynasty leagues.
Yeah, and I guess as far as the Bills situation, it just seems like it gets more and more murky. You know, I haven't felt comfortable starting Jordan Matthews in the leagues I have him in. You know, Zay Jones hasn't been a guy that you can consistently rely on, and now you add another target in the mix there in Kelvin. You know, it has to ding, you know, some of Charles Clay's work when he was healthy and producing. And yeah, so I don't know. I think it just, I guess the one person it's good for is Tyrod Taylor. Gives him another weapon. He's already, you know, continually underrated, I think, as both a real life and a fantasy quarterback. And this only helps him out there. What do you think, Sean?
Well, looking at the buy low machine, Buffalo has the number one remaining schedule for a quarterback. And I still think Jordan Matthews and Zay Jones are interesting players. You know, Jordan Matthews came in late, and so he doesn't know the offense, and then he immediately sustains a couple of different injuries that slow him down. But he can be sort of that slot threat that is very useful for an offense. And then Jones, the extreme inefficiency has to be a red flag. But like Josh Hermsmeyer was mentioning last week in his Air Yards by Low article, the volume is there, and if he is an NFL wide receiver at all, you would expect there to be some sort of bounce back. And based on what we saw from him in college, and then you complement that with an extremely impressive combine, I think there's not a lot of reason to be, or at least there's reason for hope. Let's put it in the positive terms instead. There's reason for hope. Now, the volume is not going to stay there with Benjamin in place, but suddenly I think you could argue that instead of having a very weak wide receiving core that was going to limit them as they make a playoff push here, they're one of the teams that at the beginning of the season had a little bit of a mini sell-off. And it looked like with a new coach that they were going to go into this complete rebuild. They weren't 100% sold on Taylor. But instead, the team has performed extremely well and is making the second half push. And the acquisition of Benjamin, I think, has to be exciting for their fans, exciting for that offense. Now you've got three different guys, all of whom have some red flags, have some warts, you know, have their very strong defenders, but also a lot of critics. It'll be interesting to see all three of them together in that offense, even if none of them really rise to the occasion and become, you know, that big fantasy weapon going forward. None of them still profile certainly as a wide receiver one. I think with Benjamin now, you're hoping that he can be sort of a low-end wide receiver two within the context of that offense. But certainly, Taylor owners have to be excited. It gives you another potential streaming candidate. And then as the Superflex leagues get more and more popular, and I would definitely encourage people to play in those, they're a ton of fun, that, you know, for Taylor owners in those formats, that, you know, this is a great development.
Yeah, and Pete, I saw you had kind of a hot take on Twitter regarding the 2014 draft class with now two of those players on the same team. Bit of a tongue-in-cheek humorous take here, but I think there's some truth to it as well. But what are your thoughts now on the 2014 wide receiver class?
Yeah, no, it just went, when that trade happened today, it just got me thinking, you know, with all the injuries to the guys, the, you know, these guys being traded, you have all the Martavis Bryant stuff. I was like, you know, the 2014 draft class, everyone was excited about it going into the draft, and then it really met expectations, you know, with Odell and Mike Evans and Cooks, all their big year one seasons. And my thought was that this moment, maybe today, has to be the lowest just the overall stock and perception has been on that draft class since the draft. And you can go down one, you know, through the players. And again, some of them are injuries. It's not like we're necessarily concerned about Odell Beckham's long-term thing. And I do know Mike Evans is still having a solid season, but it's crazy how many of these players who were propping up, who are now in, you know, in flux across teams or not having great seasons. And I just thought it was interesting that, you know, maybe the honeymoon period on this 2014 draft class might be coming to an end a little bit. Sean, am I being too negative there, or is this tough times for those wide receivers?
No, I think that's definitely the case. It'll be interesting to see how they move along through the remainder of the season. It certainly sounded like Jarvis Landry was another player who was available today if the Dolphins could have gotten the right price for him. So the class is going to go down as one of the best in history, but certainly a low last month and possibly an opportunity to buy in dynasty leagues. Some of these players are going to be in different situations next year. And I don't think you look at players like Benjamin, like Matthews, like Landry, I don't think they've been in terrible situations, but they certainly haven't been in elite situations. And anytime a player is not re-signed by his original team, you know, that's going to be something, a red flag, certainly traded away. Those are concerns. But, you know, we saw just over the last month this incredible transformation in Houston. And, you know, DeAndre Hopkins goes from a first-round pick a couple years ago to falling into the third round this year, despite, you know, being a star, being one of the best receivers in a league that suddenly seems to be less top-heavy, to be Antonio Brown, maybe Julio Jones, and then everybody else, you know, maybe Mike Evans, but this, you know, big group of somewhat underwhelming candidates. Well, Hopkins immediately jumps back up to the top of that when you have this quarterback change. And certainly, if you're still a believer in those players, then I would definitely be trying to buy now, because you can see that huge jump in value this offseason.
Yeah, so what just happened is I actually did you a big favor, because as such a big kind of fantasy influencer, my tweet, I think, is going to push down the overall perception on this class. And then we have the sharp play here with Sean telling you to go buy him up. So you're welcome on that little bubble I created for you.
Well, I think it's paying off right away. I was able to acquire Jarvis Landry during the opening minutes of the podcast here. So we're already off to a fast start.
Were you really, Sean?
Yes.
Excellent. What
it's in a league with Pete, so I think that he's already done himself a disservice, like he was saying.
Yeah, I think Sean got a good one. He pulled in a Lamar Miller, Garcon, and Landry for Zay Jones and some picks. So yeah, he bolstered up and is ready for a playoff run now.
Awesome. Well, Pete, to close out here, what players are you most excited about, and who are you looking to avoid in this coming week?
Wow, this coming week. I remember I'm the guy that made that Millie Maker lineup about 20 minutes before. Honestly, I started to go in to submit some of my lineups and look at my waiver situations, and some of my teams, I mean, I'm going to be really struggling to fill out my rosters. I just have so many Steelers, Patriots, Vikings, and Chargers that it's going to be a rough week. So as far as players I'm excited about, it's whoever I can get on the waiver wire to touch. Like, I'm getting excited about Robbie Anderson on waivers, some guy I can try to hopefully get and put into my lineup. Maybe Sean has a better guy he's excited about.
Well, we were talking about, you know, do you hold David Johnson? Do you hold Andrew Luck? And I think that it's very difficult if you have held them to this point to cut them. But it's not just going to be David Johnson or Andrew Luck that people are going to be cutting this week. And obviously, people who are paying attention cut Luck a while back. But, I mean, you're going to have to be cutting potential starters if you want to fill out a full lineup. I mean, these are the most exciting teams. You know, this bye week, you look at best ball leagues, people are going to have half lineups, you know, after their optimized lineup is taken. So, yeah, I think exactly what you said there, that just fielding a team this week is going to be the real challenge. Obviously, Houston, again, looks like a team to continue to target. And at this point, it's great to have such an exciting story. You know, we have things like the Chicago Bears, who appear not to actually even want to go out and play their games. You know, certainly you have negative storylines with the NFL, you know, fairly consistently, which I think unfortunately can overshadow some of the amazing things that are happening. But, you know, that game, that Seahawks-Texans game, I mean, one of the most exciting games in years. And to continue to watch what the Texans could do this week against the Colts will be a blast.
Awesome. Well, let's leave it there. Pete, thanks so much for joining us. Everyone, make sure to follow Pete on Twitter. A fantastic Twitter follow, at Peter Overzet. Check out his
work.
Go ahead.
Can Pete. I just wanted to do a plug.
Yeah, do a plug. Do a plug.
They're on bye this week, but the Patriots are definitely my favorite team. You guys should check them out. They got a lot of good things going on. So, yeah, definitely check out the Patriots. They are normally in the 1 o'clock slot on CBS, or you can catch them on Red Zone or maybe even some clips on NFL.com.
All right, good stuff. Pete's also the host of Fantasyland, the FF Comedy Hour, so check those out as well. Episodes kind of TBD on both, right?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. All right. Pete, thanks so much for joining us. Hope to have you again sometime soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio, the flagship RotoViz podcast. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter, @RotovizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/radio.